Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're into the Book of Revelation, and to study it with us, I invite you to go online to billybrim.org and begin listening to our radio broadcast from July 16 through 20, then 23rd through 27, then 30 through August 8, and then here we are today, and this is August 7, and we're looking at Jesus and the message that he gave, and the whole prophecy was sent to these seven churches. They were seven churches that were in existence, and he spoke to each one of them, the risen Lord, churches under the new covenant, not Old Testament, new covenant churches, and we find it very telling what he says to them. We should pay attention to what he says to them, to each one of them. He came to that church, that assembly, and he told them first what was right with it, and then he told them what was wrong with it. He promised every overcomer within it, those churches, blessing. We're in the middle of the church of Thyatira, and there's a marvelous statement here in verse 25, "That which you have, hold fast till I come." I remember hearing Brother Hagin expound on this, especially in regard to healing. He has a little booklet, which I put together and which we give to everybody that receives healing in any of our meetings. It's called How to Keep Your Healing. And Brother Hagin used this verse that Jesus said, "That which you have, hold fast till I come." So we have things that God gave us, and we're told hold them fast. Why would we have to hold them fast? Because, Brother Hagin pointed out, someone is trying to take them away from you. And he particularly talked about divine healing and how that people who receive divine healing from God, even though they'll say, "Oh, if God did it, it'll always last." Whenever you receive healing, divine healing, or anything else from God, the enemy will come. He's a thief, and try to take it away from you. And Brother Hagin talked about how people lose their healings. Talked about a man that was healed completely of deafness. Brother Hagin used to do like long, several weeks long meetings. This man was healed of deafness. He could hear everything. And then after another week, he couldn't hear any longer. And Brother Hagin was given by God what happened to him. He went down to the post office to get his mail like he always did, and there was a little demon in there. Spoke to him. You're not hearing very well. You didn't hear such and such, your wife said this morning, or hear what? And day by day, that demon was there, and day by day went to get his mail until he lost his healing. So Jesus said to this church, which had things wrong with it, all of these churches had something wrong that he corrected them about. But he said, "That which you have, hold fast till I come." So we want to hold fast to our faith. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your faith in praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't cast away what you know about the blood of Jesus. Let someone talk you out of it. Hold fast that which you have. And then Jesus gave his overcoming promise again to the church at Thyatira. "Him that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron as vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Whatever time you're living in, the Holy Ghost is speaking something to that era that you live in. And we're told to hear it. Chapter 3, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that has the seven spirits of God," that's the Holy Ghost, "and the seven stars," the angels, "I know your works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." Does it matter? Yes, it matters. Is there accountability? Yes, there is accountability. Verse 3, "Remember, therefore," here again he says, "how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent." He's talking to a church in New Covenant times, and he tells them to repent. Yes, repent, turn, go the opposite direction. Turn from what you're doing. he says to this church at Sardis, and he would say that to any church. I think in churches, assemblies I'm talking about, maybe where there's just the faintest ember left, but it's there, and it can be fanned, and it can come into what God wants it to come into. He gives another overcoming promise. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. We really don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, there's an old song that says, there's a new name written down in heaven and it's mine. That's really not right. In the Bible, it speaks of names being already written, but they can be blotted out. So without going into that in great detail, which we could right now, we're just saying that he says they need to watch it right there in that church, and they need to repent. And he even intimates that they've reached a very sad shape. But if they repent, praise the Lord. Thank God for repentance. There's power in repentance. You can repent right up to the edge. Let's say you're going down the road and you're about to go over a cliff. You can turn your car around and you won't go over the pit. You won't go over the cliff. That's the power of repentance. That church right there, in the sad state that it was in, they could have had a prayer meeting one night and repented of how far they had gotten away from God, and turn right around and then know the blessings and greatness of God in that assembly. Then he writes to the church of Philadelphia, "These things saith he that is holy, that is true, that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens." He starts again, "I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you've kept my word and not denied my name." Down to verse 10, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." We do know that we have the promise of God, and we'll talk about this more, we're going to see that the book of Revelation is largely about the last 7 years, the last 7 year cycle of years before Jesus comes. What's happening on earth? I mean, before he comes and puts his feet down on earth, he will, at the beginning of that 7 year cycle, he will receive the church unto himself. At the end of that 7 year cycle, he will put his feet down on the Mount of Olives, and then he will establish his kingdom up on the earth. But we have the promise in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 5:9, Romans 5:9, that the church is not appointed to the hour of wrath that will come upon all the earth, which is to test them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 11, hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. This is the third church that he said to, hold fast what you've got. Don't let it go. So it must be something that the enemy definitely is trying. I know he is. I know he's attacking our churches right now. He's coming against us and trying to get us to fight each other and bring schism into the church. But the unity that we have, folks, let's hold on to it and let's go for more. I don't want to be found to be causing a schism in any part of the church. Bless the Lord. He that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the name of my God, and he shall go no more out and in. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem. The church is particularly attached to New Jerusalem. We were born there, Galatians 4:23. It says, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. And actually what it says in John 3:16 is, you must be born from above. So we're citizens of the New Jerusalem, now and ever will be. That Jerusalem which comes down of heaven from God, and I will write a new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he comes to the church of Laodicea. And the church at Laodicea was in trouble. But again, we see in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's not wiped away. You know, I love my children. They're my children. They're never going to stop being my children. And if you're born again, you're God's child. You're going to be God's child. But he will deal with you. and chasten you if you're a true child of God. And then you want to, he's not going to make you, when he does this, it's for your good. It's to help you. I know my grandson Brandon's across the way here. And it's just an amazing kind of to watch how God's been calling Brandon ever closer to him. And now he's given him visions and revelations. And then today he shared with me that the Lord would cause to flash across his memory something that he had said a long time ago. But now the Lord had brought him to a place where that was corrected. Not, you know, just to beat him over the head, but to bring him into a place of power and communion with God. So, this church of Laodicea, it's a church. He's writing to a church. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Again, he says repent. New Testament churches, but he tells them, you missed it here, repent. That means turn around from it. Head the other direction. Have a place where you take that thing to God, and you ask him to help you, and you turn. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, we preach that all the time to sinners, people who've never known God. But this isn't written to sinners and people who've never known God. This is written to a church at Laodicea. Now, we're told in the beginning of the book of Revelation, chapter 2, at the church of Ephesus, he says, that he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven golden candlesticks, go back and listen to our earlier teachings, are the churches. He walks in the churches. They're receiving light from heaven, and they're to give light to the earth. He walks in them. But notice here, at the church of Laodicea, he's not in the church. He's outside. But he's still at the door, and he's still knocking. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That church is in a bad shape. This is the one that he said, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot, because I'm spewing lukewarmness out my mouth. But to that church, he says, I'm still out here and I'm still knocking. And if any one man in that church will hear my voice, one person, and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. We open the door to Jesus. Come in and sup with us. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set down as bad of a shape as they were. You come back, you'll sit with me at my throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Be with us tomorrow when the scene changes and moves to heaven. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom from Mount Minnesota. See you tomorrow.